Brothers and sisters, as I mentioned last weekend, I have all the masses of last weekend, this weekend, so it gave me an opportunity to do kind of a two-part series, a two-part homily, and just to do a quick review, especially for those of you who weren't here last week, I'll just give you a very brief outline of what I mentioned last week. The end of the 19th century, at the threshold of the new century, around the 20th century, the people of the 19th century propelling into the 20th, looked at the 20th century as having the power to be the greatest century we ever experienced, especially in the areas of three things: ignorance, humanism, one, war, and finally poverty. And when we think about those three, let me just briefly explain it. Ignorance, humanism, the end of the 19th century, looking into the 20th century, they believed the 20th century would be the culture of life. And when we think about what happened in the 20th century, look at what happened. Abortion was legalized. Not only that, everyone, more people died through another means, everyone. And I talked about this last weekend. Over 100 million people died by another means, based on political and racial ideology. Over 100 million people died by genocide. Innocent people died in the name of political, racial ideology. Second, war. The end of the 19th century, people had experienced war between countries. They had experienced wars within, you know, within their own countries. But man, the 20th century brought along what? The globalization of war. Nation after nation after nation after nation, all fighting in the same war. Not just once, but we had two world wars. And three, poverty. The end of the 19th century really did look at the 20th century as a century which would be able to combat poverty. And look at where we are, everyone, today. Look at how that gap, everyone, between the rich and the poor has just exploded. And I mentioned last week, everyone, 21,000 people die of hunger or hunger-related diseases every single day. Count it out again, everyone. I'll do it with you. One, two, three, four. One, two, three, four. One, two, three, four. Every four, three times we did it, three people died. Hunger, hunger-related diseases. Children, youth, it plays a role in your life, this whole story. Last week, I mentioned in my homily that back in 1958, if you were to ask principals, the main problems they faced with students, here were the five. Number one, not doing your homework. Number two, not respecting property, for example, throwing books. Number three, leaving lights on and doors and windows open. Number four, using spitballs in class. And five, running through the halls. All right, recently, asked the same question. The principals now answer with these five main problems they face when dealing with children today. Get this: AIDS, abortion, rape, drugs, the fear of a violent death, murder, guns and knives in schools. The 20th century. Everyone, I'm going to add one more here too today. It's as far as I got last week, but I'm going to add one more. Nothing against anybody here who's divorced. I especially want to talk in regards to children. Let me just explain this too, okay? But we do know this in regards to the divorce rate. It's at least one in two in society today. So that means most children, let's just say, okay, half to most now live with either one parent, no parent, but certainly not two parents. Here's the other surprising thing. Most marriages, even when they are held together, are full of tension, bitterness, resentment, and depression. I'll give you an example of that. Ann Landers asked married couples to respond to this question. If you had to do it all over again, would you marry the same spouse? She was astonished at the volume of responses she received. Even more, the percentage of those who said no. You want to guess what that number is? Here it is, over 75%. It's spouses look at each other and say, you know something? Over 3 in 4 would say, I wouldn't do it again. Now think about what that says to children. 1 in 7 or 8 experience a marriage in which there's love, there's forgiveness, there's peace. 7 out of 8 experience either no parent, one parent, or a marriage in which it's full of tension, frustration, despair, and depression. How would you like to live in that home? Isn't that scary? All right, hope. What I mentioned to you, everyone, comes from Peter Kreese's book, Making Choices, Practical Wisdom for Everyday Moral Decisions. Is there hope? Yes, there is. Where is it found? It's found here in this church, in you and me. This is where it's going to get controversial. This is where it's going to get a little bit hard to hear. But I think it just is something that really, really needs to be said. Hope is here, you and me. How do we go to that? No question, everyone, we are an extremely divided society. We are right, conservative, left, liberal. I believe, you know, everyone, there's more fire and passion over politics than I think religion today. Okay? And how does this sound? Right and left when it comes to life. Kreeft writes, when it comes to moral issues about human life, and I think we'd agree with this, hard to hear, but here it is. Liberals are strongly willing to sacrifice the lives of the innocent, especially the old and unborn, but not the guilty, the murderer on death row, or the soldier of an aggressive enemy. Conservatives tend on the opposite pendulum, opposing abortion and euthanasia, but eager to keep guns. Remember, everyone, you know, I hunt. I understand it. A powerful faction there. They're also eager to keep capital punishment and military force as a solution to international problems. Hard to hear, but I think we'd all agree that's true. Now, is this new? No. No, it's not. People, as a matter of fact, if you went back to the time of Jesus and you looked at the religious leaders, they fell under two factions. The Pharisees were the conservatives. The Sadducees were the liberals. They didn't like each other. They didn't agree on anything. Oh, they did agree on one thing, by the way. One thing. One thing. And you know what it was? Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus did not and would not fit into their boxes. He refused to do that. Refused to fit into a left basis. He refused to fit into a right basis. And because of that, you know what? He was dangerous. He was a big dangerous. People, pick up the Gospels. Read them. Go home. Read the Beatitudes. And you know what you're going to find if you actually read it? There is no right-leaning Christian society. There is no left-leaning Christian society. You will find a mixture of both. Here's what you're going to find. There is an emphasis on charity, a preferential option for the poor, a condemnation of private and public greed. On the other hand, there is an equally strong emphasis on authority, obedience, tradition, fidelity, faith, and work. What does this mean? No one of the typical American left or right can read the Gospels without feeling a bit uncomfortable. So everyone, what does it mean for us? I'm going to make this as simple as I can. When it comes to making moral choices, what we need to do is make the right choice. The choice that God would want us to make. Not left, not right. Those are worldly pieces. What we need to do, everyone, is to make the God-given pieces. The right choice. And you know something, everyone? I'll be honest with you. When we do that, we're not going to fit in boxes. We won't. We'll be beyond the boxes. And that, everyone, I think is scary for people. But everyone, that is the gospel. Jesus didn't tend left, he didn't tend right. He simply said, Father, your will be done. God's choice. That is who we are as we gather in this church. Okay? It's not easy to hear, but I think we can understand it. We aren't about boxes. We are about faith. We are about Jesus Christ. Okay? Talk about that this week. Talk about it. Okay? It's okay. It's all right. Let's remember who we really are here. Who we really are. Let's make a difference. Transform this world for the better. And we all know it. The only way we can do that is through a person. It is Jesus Christ. God's blessings to you.